Hit a home run and get pre-approved for your next refinance or home purchase at thehomeloanexpert.com. Enjoy the podcast.
Wednesdays with Walton. It has been here from the beginning, and it continues even during this stoppage in play with Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. There's always great insight from Brian concerning the minor leagues. Last week, we got into the minors, the draft, umpires, and what's happening with the game today. Brian, as always, good to visit with you. How are things?
Well, it's great to be here, Dan. I wish we could all be face-to-face, but that's not going to happen for a while. So in the meantime, we stay at home and try to stay safe.
Yes, we do. There is some news, though, concerning baseball. And let's just start with this. How do you think baseball approaches, or any sports at this point, approaching resuming play? What do you think?
Well, the President of the United States had a conference call last weekend with all the major sports leaders. And, you know, there was certainly encouragement there to, find a way to start if at all possible, but also keeping in mind the importance of public health. And that is the balance point that nobody knows exactly where that point is, and it changes by the minute, by the hour. So, certainly Major League Baseball is in a unique position that it could perhaps find a way to resume before the other sports and, give everybody sitting at home something to enjoy and watch other than reruns and, old news. So, there's certainly reasons to want to do it both for the fan perspective as well as from the financial perspective, but there's also some very significant inhibitors.
Yeah, and one of those things is money. Always follow the money. So how would you prorate pay in this particular situation when you have owners that are trying to gather revenue, and then you got the players trying to recoup what's left on their salary for what looks to be a season that'll be cut short?
Well, that's a really interesting situation, Dan. What we know so far in the first go-round of agreement, that the players got their year of service time if no baseball was played. And on the money side, they got agreement from owners that would give them basically an advance on their salaries covering April and May. Sort of a down payment, basically. And for the more experienced players, that's a fairly good amount of money, $5,000 a month, but $5,000 a day, excuse me. But that's going to run out at the end of May. So the question is, when the season starts again, of course the owners are only going to get a small percentage of their revenue. If they have to play on spring training fields or play where there's no fans, their revenue is going to be down even further. And so the question is, What proposals do they bring to the players? Do they say, hey, if we're going to play 50% of the games, we want to give you 50% of the salary? Or what's it going to be? And given that the players, this $170 million that the players get for April and May, they don't have to give back. They're going to have to do an analysis that says, hey, considering the risk, considering the time away, considering everything, the incremental amount of money that I'm getting in this offer from Major League Baseball, is it enough for me to want to come back? And, of course, everybody wants to play, but they want to be compensated in what they perceive to be fair as well. So every time a new agreement is sort of like a mini CBA every time, where the owners and the players have to sit down and renegotiate entire new terms. And so and of course, on the ownership side, you've got 30 individuals or groups that you have to get agreement on. Across the players union, now you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of players who all have to see it the same way in terms of how they want to resume play. And so there's just so many open questions beyond the simple when is the virus threat past enough that it's safe to come back.
Do you think it's feasible to play in the sites in Arizona, the minor league facilities there, the spring training facilities, and it would also include Arizona, the Diamondbacks ballpark? Do you think this plan that's been talked about, it got released yesterday, there's some talk of it, do you think it's a viable plan?
Well, certainly it was a plan that Jeff Passan from ESPN reported, and he had a very well-fleshed-out story. Obviously, he couldn't quote people by name. But what I thought was most interesting, Dan, is the swiftness with which Major League Baseball issued a press release the next morning saying, yeah, we're looking at things, but we haven't asked any health officials for any approvals. And, this is still early on, most worried about safety. So it was pretty clear MLB wanted to nip the speculation that this was, all done except for the I's dotted and T's crossed, because it's not. I sort of view it like a chain, Dan, and there's a whole bunch of links in this chain, and all of them have to stay strong for this to work. If any one of those links break, then this whole idea of starting play in Arizona using spring training fields, is going to fall apart.
I find it fascinating let's just say that they would go through with it, and a veteran says, okay, or at least a veteran is approached and says, you have to be a part of this if you want to play. And the guy said, well, I've made $150 million. I really don't want to be away from my family for 4 months. I find that part of this thing fascinating, too.
Oh, that's a huge issue. Again, the union has to have 100% agreement. You know, it's not like one team can opt out or something. And then, you know, every thread you pull, you there's more questions. So now, first of all, the player has to agree, hey, I'm going to go to Arizona. And then the second question is, well, what about my family? We're already seeing on social media players going, hey, I don't want to be away from my family for three or four months. So in a situation where you could keep it as pure as possible, where you put all the players in a hotel, you control their food, you control their transportation back to the ballpark, almost like they're, you know, under house arrest. Now all of a sudden, if you include families in that too and let them travel, now all of a sudden you need rental houses and you need it just gets so much more complicated. So, you know, again, these, you know, the Major League Baseball coming to agreement on what they want to do is one step. Getting the health officials, and by the way, it's not just the federal officials, but the local officials in Phoenix who are going to say, you know, there's going to be some people that are going to say, hey, you know, we don't want this risk in our backyard. So you've got to get their agreements. But then most importantly, all these factors that the players have to have one voice and one opinion about how they want to proceed.
It's also interesting, too, if you had somebody that contracted the virus, what that would mean for the league. Do you shut down the team? Do you just isolate the player? Do you isolate the team for 14 days? That's where this really gets tricky, too. I mean, there's a ton of different things that go into this. But, man, you're right. So many links in the chain. And if one falls, does it break the whole thing?
And it's not just the players, Dan. It's all the support personnel. Not just coaches, but you got to have the clubhouse attendants, the people, you know, to get them to transportation back and forth. You know, there's all these support people. And, you know, all those people could be at risk or maybe not. But, you know, unless the testing improves, unless the understanding of the virus improves, you know, you could face the same situation that they, I think it was in, was it Japan where they started and then
yes.
They had to back off again.
Right.
So, and I don't think anybody wants that because that's the other angle here, Dan. Think about this. Let's say Major League Baseball makes a decision. Okay, we're going whole hog on this Arizona plan. You can't go back. You can't go back to like the regular season if things get better. You might be able to go back to Arizona again, send everybody home and bring them back again. But, you know, once you made the decision to not play the regular season in the regular ballparks, now you've kind of got yourself down this path that says, I've put all my eggs in the basket that this Arizona plan is going to work and that none of these links in this chain are going to be too weak to hold.
I also find it fascinating that Thursday was to be the opener for the minor league season. And I think about guys that were not going to be part of the major league team but are maybe a year or two away. Guys like, let's say, Matthew Liberatore or Nolan Gorman. What a lost year might do for a minor leaguer. I find that part of this to be very, very interesting.
Well, certainly the year of development, you're right, Dan. Every player that's trying to reach the major leagues wants that year of competition, wants that year of learning. And sometimes learning is positive, some of it's negative, but it all, you know, goes into the overall picture to help make them better ball players. And no matter how good working out at home is, this is like an off season. This isn't like a regular season. It's not the same thing. And so certainly, you know, every player, you know, is going to, you know, feel like they didn't get the same opportunity. Now, the good news is, you know, of young players they get a year older, but they don't, you know, significantly move toward the end of their career. You have some of the older players who are in their 30s, mid-30s, late-30s, you know, Yadier Molina, who doesn't have that many years left. Losing a whole year right now, you know, is a huge deal, or an Adam Wainwright. So, you know, every player at every level kind of has their own set of concerns and worries.
The PA announced payments for non-roster veterans as it concerns to the minor leagues. Explain how that works.
Yeah, it was an announcement made by the Players Association this past week. And it's sort of as a bunch of players that were sort of caught in the middle. And what I mean is, we talked earlier about the $170 million that's being distributed to the 40-man roster guys. We talked about the $400 per week that's being given to all the minor leaguers. Now, the non-roster players in Major League Camp, most of them are young, at least in the Cardinals, 19 out of the 20 non-roster guys that are still left in Major League Camp are all young players. So they've never played a day in the major league, so they're not used to any, you know, big salaries. But take a guy like Matt Wieters a year ago, Matt Wieters, who had been in the major leagues his whole career, established major leaguer, but the Cardinals had roster issues, so they said, hey, Matt, you know, come to camp on a minor league deal. Don't worry. Just get into shape. And by the end of camp, we'll work things out and you'll be on the roster. Well, there's a whole bunch of Matt Wieters this year who were caught in the middle. They couldn't participate in the $170 million, and so they were only getting the $400 a week like minor leaguers. So the Players Association basically stepped in and created a fund that said for any of these guys with one day or more of major league service time, they'll provide a fund to help them cover this bridge, which because these guys were, you know, kind of, as I said, kind of caught in the middle. The only guy in Cardinals camp that this applies to right now is catcher Oscar Hernandez, who is a basically a journeyman guy who was brought in and will likely be the veteran guy with Andrew Kisner in Memphis this year.
What are you hearing about player communication or workout plans with those players? What are you hearing?
Well, the Cardinals have been very proactive, and John Mozeliak had a call with the members of the media that we participated in this last week, and he, you know, gave updates on, you know, how the Cardinals are using both personal communication but also online tools to help the team, help the players on all levels of the organization, that help them customize workout plans for these guys based on what's equipment available to them. Because let's face it, a lot of these guys would go to a health club or to a gym to work out. Well, those places are off limits. So now it gets down to, you know, what equipment does the player have at home or, you know, in his family unit that he can use to work out. And so you maybe have to change his workout regimen somewhat to compensate for what he has. And then, of course, the Cardinals also have a bunch of communication tools that enable them to communicate electronically with different groups of players across the system. So, you know, they're certainly doing everything they can to keep everybody on target to get ready to come back to play whenever it is.
I find it interesting that we'd be talking a lot about this, but the Major League Baseball minor league operating agreement and those talks, obviously, right now, they're on the back burner, aren't they?
They really are, Dan. And the way that the time sequence worked, it looked good because the minor league agreement expires at the end of September this year. And then, of course, the major league cooperative bargaining agreement expires at the end December of 2021. So the idea was, well, they'll use this year to kind of get the minors in shape, and then next year they'll get the major league agreement locked down. Well, now, with everybody focused on what to do about the coronavirus, this whole agreement between the major leagues and the minor leagues is according to rumors, really isn't a priority right now. And you can understand from the major league side why that's the case. They've certainly got bigger fish to fry. But the challenge from the minor league side is that a number of these 160 minor league teams that are out there are locally owned businesses. And they are, just like every other small business out there, hurting right now. They don't have big TV contracts. Their revenue, their primary revenue source is based on people coming to ball games. Ball games that aren't being held and may not be held at all. Because, you know, one of the things we don't have any idea is what kind of minor league seasons are they going to be? Which levels are going to play and when are they going to start? And, you know, we're not talking about 30 cities or, in the case of Major League Baseball, or one city like Phoenix. We're talking about 160 different cities and, you know, spread all over the country. So, you know, the whole issue of minor league baseball, it's going to be tough. Now, on the positive side, U.S. government announced the CARES Act, which was specifically designed to give financial assistance to small businesses. And, you know, looks like minor league baseball, you know, lines up with that really well. The challenge is, though, that money won't be forgiven unless the businesses keep their same number of employees for the next 2 years.
Right, yeah.
So now you're in this environment where we don't know for sure, that these owners don't know for sure, hey, am I going to get contracted as part of this next agreement? You know, what's my future? And so it sort of almost feels like these cuts are going to happen not because of Major League Baseball necessarily, but because of the environment that we're in has put some of these minor league teams, especially the ones on a weak financial foundation, you know, might be the difference between them being able to stay in business and not.
This is Cardinals broadcaster and Schnucks shopper Dan McLaughlin. Schnucks would like to thank everyone during this difficult time. That includes those that are working in the stores. As you can imagine, during this time, Schnucks employees are putting in long hours around the clock to best serve our community. So the next time you're in Schnucks, tell them thanks and that you appreciate them. Let them know how much we appreciate their efforts, because we will all get through this together.
Luke Hughes, we are St. Louis.
Dan McLaughlin here to tell you about the hometown automotive family I trust the most, the Loof Hughes Automotive Network. And you know they are St. Louis. Loof Hughes has been a part of St. Louis for over 7 decades. They're proud to support St. Louis and the surrounding areas with cars, youth, sports, and charitable efforts. 14 brands, 10 locations. Just visit Fuse.com to start shopping today.
Loof Hughes, we are St. Louis.
I'm curious, Brian, and that's from the minor league perspective of those owners. Do any of the major league teams, are they affected by no minor league season, meaning lost revenue? Or were there certain teams that were really good at generating at least a little revenue for clubs? I don't know if you know that, but I'm just curious.
Well, you know, primarily, and now minor league clubs were required to share some amount of their revenue with Major League Baseball, but it wasn't huge. I think, and listen, I don't know the details of the financial books, but my perception is that the minor league system is a loss leader for the major leagues because they have to bear today, in today's world, the entire cost of the players and the coaches and the support staff. Now, the teams handle their own operations and running the ballpark and all that, and they get to give some, like I said, some amount of the ticket money back to Major League Baseball. But I don't think it's significant. But, you know, the challenge going forward is if, you know, these teams that lose their affiliation in 2021, they would then be required not only to pay the players in the future if they're not affiliated, but they would have to get the expense to scout them and find them. To hire them. And that's why the feeling is that, you know, most of these teams that end up being on the cut list probably are not going to be able to survive.
I find this part of it, and I'll wrap up this, and then I want to get into what you're doing on the website. But I find this really interesting of what a major league roster, let's just say for argument's sake, that we know July 1st or July 15th or June 1st, whatever it is, they're going to come back and they're going to play Major League Baseball. I'm fascinated what a Major League roster is going to look like because you're going to have multiple doubleheaders. Let's say you're playing in Arizona. It's 110 degrees. You got no off days. You've got pitchers that aren't ready for Major League season, so you got to protect them. You're going to have to protect some of your position players too. I'm just fascinated how many of those minor league guys would be on a Major League roster.
Yeah, and I mean, the initial rumors were, well, you know, it might be 29, but that – you know, that wasn't part of any of the formal discussions that we've heard about. And, you know, the other question is, you bring major leaguers into one place, would you bring minor leaguers in as well? Because, again, from the expense side, if they, let's say they got crazy and said, okay, all 40 guys on the 40-man roster, you know, are eligible to play. Well, that means all those guys get major league salary and they accrue major league service time. And so there's an expense consideration, you know, that baseball has to think about as well, because of course they're not getting their ticket revenue, their game revenue from these games. So there's a balance point somewhere in there. Again, I've heard nothing about this. This is just me off the cuff. You know, maybe they bring a group of minor leaguers to Arizona as well and have them play, you know, have them play in parallel and they draw, you know, from them. Don't know. I will tell you though, the afternoon temperature thing is a big issue. And so, you know, probably you think they might have to play games at night, which, you know, Arizona's not on daylight savings time. So they're basically on the same time as the Pacific Coast. So, you know, you're talking about for the major media markets in the East, if they're evening games, they won't start till 10 p.m. every night, or in St. Louis, there'll be 9 o'clock games. And, you know, the good news is, of course, we're not getting up and going to work, but, you know, folks are going to have trouble maybe staying up till 12 or 1 a.m. To watch baseball, even if they're able to resume in Arizona.
Yeah, so many questions with that proposal and many proposals that are out there. My final question to you, you do a fabulous job at thecardinalnation.com. Brian Walton is with me every week. I'm curious what you're working on right now. What keeps you going every single day? Because in a normal season, Brian Walton has something on Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, Easter. It doesn't matter. You've got something every single day. So what's keeping you busy right now?
Well, normally in the offseason, you know, we'd be working hard on prospect lists and all that. But, of course, with nobody playing, the prospect lists aren't changing. Well, I had on my long list of to-dos something that I wanted to work on but never had the time, which is to go back and document the history of the Cardinals minor league system. And so I'm in the midst of working on that. I've just put the finishing touches on 10,000 words just on Class A only. So that's like the Midwest League, et cetera, where Peoria is right now. And so I'm basically, I started with the system overall, and now I'm going level by level and, you know, talking about the leagues. And then I'm going to go down, you know, to the individual team level. And then depending on how much time there is, will also be writing about the top statistical leaders. So who are the top home run hitters in Cardinals minor league history? You know, who's won the most games? Who's had the best ERA? So there's a whole bunch of things that I've been wanting to do for some time, putting together the history of the system that I'm doing. And so, you know, we still have new content every day, and that's a goal that I put in place even through this shutdown.
Brian Walton of thecardinalnation.com. I can't thank you enough. I love the info. It's great stuff, and love checking out the website daily, and I'm really enjoying what you're doing right now. So thanks so much, and we'll catch you up next week.
Take care, Dan.